This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين. سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you all doing? Alhamdulillah. Night 28. Very likely the second last Taraweeh for the year. Tomorrow will, of course, it's the 29th night. A very important night. In fact, tonight could be Laylatul Qadr as well. We see the masjid quite empty, and it shouldn't be that way. And that's why we deliberately, not that we did a khatam, but we deliberately wanted to leave the final kunut for the last night, because after the 27th, people are already in that labarang mode, and we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be on the Eid focus, because it could be tonight Laylatul Qadr, and in fact, very strong likelihood that tomorrow could be Laylatul Qadr as well. So we should continue to focus, and you never know. This could be our last Taraweeh. Tomorrow might be the last Taraweeh we ever have. So make the most of it. Then just before I begin, some questions still on fitrah and fidya. Fidya is only for the person that misses a day in Ramadan and is unable to fast. A person who cannot fast at all and will never be able to fast. So someone who is permanently sick. Like the old person, if granny is too old to fast now, then after Ramadan she's even older. You know, becomes weaker and weaker. So she will never ever be able to fast. She can't make the day up. So that person pays fidya. It's something separate. Fitrah is something completely different. Fitrah is something that every single person who has the money, it's a tax on your money. It's not a tax on the person. Anyone who can afford fitrah needs to pay fitrah for the day of Eid. For someone that is able to provide a poor person. Basically, you're providing a poor person with a meal on the day of Eid. That is what fitrah is. So even if, so granny, for example, she's a millionaire, but she's too old to fast. So she can't fast, she pays fidya, but she will also pay fitrah because her money is zakatable in that sense. Then you find another person who fasts, he doesn't pay the fidya, but he's also a very, very poor person. He wouldn't pay fitrah either. And he should receive fitrah. He doesn't have money for, he doesn't have food for Eid. So you understand? So everybody that can afford fitrah should pay fitrah. How much money are we talking about? Fitrah is 40 rand for every person. Fidya is 10 rand for every day that you must. And it's not really money. You should give food, substances. You should give, you can't give the, you can't say, okay, there's a poor person on the road. Here's 300 rand, 10 days, 10 rand for every day of fitrah, or fidya, I give it to you. Should be actually in the form of food. And that's why it's so important that you give the money to the masjid or the organization so that they can purchase these fitrah parcels and they can purchase the meal and they can distribute food substances to the poor. And therefore there's a cut-off. By tomorrow, if you don't provide your fitrah, then masjid cannot take the responsibility of collecting anything, because beyond tomorrow evening, after Taraweeh, shops are closed. You know, Eli is closed, but the Talib can't go buy a fitrah parcel. So we need to get those things. So today is really your last cut of day to pay your fitrah. Fidya has no time limit really. Fidya you can pay after Ramadan. Fidya is no issue. That can be paid even later. But as we said, the real essence of this is you should give food substances to the person. In fact, you should feed the person. That's the best thing. Questions on fitrah, fidya? You will understand now? Clear? Right, next Ramadan we'll get that right, inshallah. We continue with our story of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam. Yesterday, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, we mentioned how he grew up to be a strong, tall. Also something interesting to mention, the Prophet ﷺ saw Nabi Musa in the Isra and the Mi'raj, and he describes the way Nabi Musa looked like. Nabi Musa was a tall, thin kind of person, although very, very strong, but he was lean, and he was dark of complexion. He looked like a reed. The Prophet says he looked like from one of those from the tribe of Shanu'a. Now, the tribe of Shanu'a does not exist. If anyone knows what the people of the tribe of Shanu'a looks like, please tell us. But that's what Nabi Musa alayhi salam looked like. A tall, very dark of complexion man, and very, very strong, but very tall. As Allah says, fastawa, he was tall. And Allah mentions that he was, even though he grew up in the palace of Fir'aun, he knew he was from the Bani Israel. He practiced the religion of his forefathers. He was on, and he kept this hidden, of course. And he would go out to help the people during the day. He would go out and help the Israelis that were suffering during the day so that no one could find out. And then he found these two men fighting, an Israeli and an Egyptian. And he intervened. The Israeli asked for help. And so Rabbi Musa gets involved without ever fighting ever before in his life. And he gives the soldier, the Egyptian, one shot for Waqaza, and the guy dies. Didn't mean to kill him, but he dies. And Nabi Musa immediately says, this is from shaitan. This what I did was wrong. Yes, that guy was maybe abusing the Israeli, but I overreacted and I acted impulsively. In fact, there's a hadith the Prophet says, acting impulsively is from shaitan. And acting with what's the right term to be used? Acting, you know, to think about things, to be cautious. This is from Allah. So shaitan wants you to act with emotion. And something just to think about, subhanAllah, we see many injustices throughout the world. And people react in a certain way, they burn certain things, they bomb certain places. It is the idea, the concept, and this is of course I'm getting to a very deep area here, we know what we're talking about. We see a lot of harm being done to the ummah, and people retaliate in a certain way for love of the ummah and for the concern of the ummah, but this is wrong. This is not, we don't believe in vigilantism. We don't believe in taking justice in your own hand. This is a system, a process. And Nabi Musa understand, he acted out of impulsively, and this was wrong. And he immediately makes tawbah, and Allah accepts his tawbah. But still, there's a dead person, an dead Egyptian in town, and Nabi Musa ran away. He didn't go to the police and confessed. And so the police is on him. Who is this? And in fact, he was a guard. Now, you know, if you kill one of the cops, then everyone's looking for you. And so Nabi Musa knows that they are looking for him. So Allah says, A'udhu billahi shaitan rajim. فَأَصْبَحَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ خَائِفًا. He became inside the city very scared. He was now scared, watching over his shoulder. يَتَرَكَّبُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي يَسْتَنْصَرُهُ بِالْأَمْسِ يَسْتَصْرِحُهُ. So Nabi Musa, now the next day he goes in the city and he's obviously very paranoid. The people are looking for him. He knows that there's this murder and there's people are looking for the killer. And so he's walking scared. And when suddenly, as he's walking in the city again, the same guy that needed his help yesterday, the Israeli that was in a fight, he's in a fight again. A second time. And again he says, ah, you, help me. Help me like you helped me yesterday. So Nabi Musa says to him, so Musa says to him, قَالَ لَهُ مُوسَى إِنَّكَ لَغَوِيٌّ مُبِينٌ. You, this guy, you are clearly a deviant, misleading person. You are just a mischief maker. You the problem. I should have sorted you out. I got the wrong guy, basically. And so, فَلَمَّا أَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَبْتِشَ بِالَّذِي هُوَ عَدُوًا لَهُمَا قَالَ يَا مُوسَى أَتُرِيدُ أَنْ تَقْتُلَنِي كَمَا قَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا بِالْأَمْسِ. So now Nabi Musa walks towards this Israeli guy. And it appears as if though, to this person, it appears as though Nabi Musa is going to eat him. And so the guy now raises his voice that everyone can hear. So he says, oh Musa, are you going to kill me like you killed someone yesterday? I remember this was a secret. Nabi Musa helped this guy yesterday. And now he raises his voice. This is from his tribe, the Israeli. And he says, are you going to kill me like you killed someone yesterday? Yeah, it was you. You were the one that did it yesterday. And then he continues, إِن تُرِيدَ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ جَبَّارًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا تُرِيدُ أَن تَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِحِينَ. You are just going to be a big tyrant in the world. You just want to be a tyrant and you want to, you know, a bully with people. And you're not looking to do good in this land. So Nabi Musa, now people are looking at him. They know that this is murder. It's coming, the news is spreading that he was the one that killed the Egyptian yesterday. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى. Very similar to Surah Yasin. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. أَقْصَى means far away. That's why Masjid al-Aqsa means that far masjid, the masjid that is far away. So a man from the end of town, from downtown basically, he came running towards Nabi Musa. So this is a friend of Nabi Musa. قال يا موسى إن الملأ يأتمرون بك ليقتلوك فخرج إني لك من الناصحين. So one of Nabi Musa's friends comes from from the end of the city. Remember, Nabi Musa is now in the slums. He's by the Israelis. So this guy is coming from the high society, from the government basically, and he runs to Nabi Musa and he says, the chiefs, and what is understood here is the military chiefs, they had a meeting and they're looking to arrest you, and basically they're looking to kill you. Now why would they kill him? It mentions here that it was known that Nabi Musa obviously was not from the Egyptian race. He was not from the pure race. And here you have, he's in the palace because he has Fir'aun's blessings. Everyone have to obey him. They have to, you know, be nice to him. They have to be courteous to him. And this, how do you think this made them feel? I mean, think of apartheid. If the president, you know, adopted a person of a dark colored skin and everyone had to be subservient to this person, how do you think it would make the police, the poor, basically, as they call it, how do you think that would make them feel? And so, for a long time, the generals and the military personnel didn't like Nabi Musa. And they said, this is the opportunity that we can get him. Before he gets to Fir'aun, and Fir'aun can basically save him, we will arrest him and we will kill him in prison. You know, he was resisting arrest, you know. So subhanAllah, so this guy tells, so one of the informants that was friends with Nabi Musa said, look, they're looking for you and they're going to kill you. You need to leave. فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَكَّبُ. So he left it, meaning he left Egypt. He, Nabi Musa, left the city, fearful. and paranoid. يترقب, he was scared. You know, looking over his shoulder, he's hiding his face, he's running away. قال ربي نجني من القوم الظالمين. And he makes a dua, he says, Ya Allah, my Lord, save me from a wrongdoing people, save me from these people. ولما توجه تلقاء مدين قال عسى ربي أن يهديني سواء السبيل. So now Nabi Musa gets out of the city, and I can imagine this, he's never been outside of, basically, it's mentioned the city is called Memphis. Actually, that's the name of the Egyptian city back in the, not the Memphis where Elvis Presley comes from. This is Memphis in Egypt, and where the pharaohs used to live. And so he's never really been out of the imperial city, and now he stands outside, and there's just desert, and he doesn't know which way to go. So he looks left, right, and when his GPS basically points towards a place called Madian, a city he didn't really know was there. When he points to this, he's, you know, tawajjah means he faced the city, like it's like in his Qibla. He makes a dua, he says, Oh Allah, guide me to the right path. Just guide me. What he means, obviously, Nabi Musa means in directions. But of course, Allah is using a play on words. Yahdi means, yeah, to guide in terms of guidance, in terms of iman. So he just pointed in that direction. He felt, I need to walk this way. And so he walks in the desert. Allah alam how long. Basically, he's going towards the city of Madian. It's in Jordan, or in Palestine area. This is many, many hundreds, thousands of kilometers, basically from Egypt, to walk all the way from Egypt to basically pass Jerusalem to Madian. It's a long distance. So he's been walking for a long time, and Allah says, وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَ. So finally, when he got to the wells of Madian, the outside of the city, of course, there are wells there. He comes now to this watering place. وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ وَوَجَدَ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ إِمْرَأَتَيْنِ تَذُودَانِ. قال ما خطبكما فقالتا لا نسقي حتى يصدر رعاء راع وأبونا شيخا رعاء وأبو شيخا كبيرا. So Nabi Musa عليه السلام, he gets to the wells of Madian, and he gets there and he's drinking and he's sitting in the shade, and he sees a group of people. Now he sees the shepherds with their flocks and with the goats and the sheep, whatever it might be, drinking from the water. And on the side, to one side, he sees two ladies. Tadudan meaning they are fighting with their sheep. Their sheep are running and they're pulling it back and the sheep are crying, and so they're struggling with their sheep and they're not letting the sheep drink. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam, these are two young girls, Nabi Musa is a young man. If ever there was, as the ulama said, if ever there was sort of a love story in the Quran, it's this, you know, boy meets girl, fall in love, they get married, this is how they meet. So Nabi Musa walks to these two girls and he says, what's up with you? Ma khatbukuma? What is your, what's wrong with you? Why are you guys standing to one side? And, you know, this tall, strong man. And so they said, so they say, qalata la nasqi. We are not allowed to water our animals, hatta yastira ar-ri'a. That until the shepherds, they finish watering their animals, until their flock is watered, only then can I go and can we water the animals. So, why? Why would that be? And they said, our father is an old man. So this is not the work of a lady. Right? This isn't shepherd work is not normally for women's work. This is for men. Even in today's modern society where women can do what men can do even better, still, you would think the gentlemanly thing to do was the husband or the father would go and he would take the goats and the animals out to feed. So they said, our dad is an old man, meaning he's too old to do this, so we are stuck doing this. And we can't do that. Why? As mentioned in Tafsir, that when we'd go, what do you think a bunch of, basically the cowboys, or she boys, what do you think they would do when young women get there? Whistle at them, make comments at them, brush up against them, you know, molest them and stuff like that. So they're standing to one side and they must wait until all the people leave, then they can take their turn. Nabi Musa, this young prince, grew up very strong female influences in his life, Asia, his mother. He just doesn't even ask them. Allah says it doesn't mention here that he spoke to them and asked them. He just takes the sheep by the reins, before they can say anything, he takes the animals and he walks towards the watering area. And of course, he's a big, strong man, so people give him way. And he takes the animals straight to the area. فَسَقَى لَهُمَا. He makes the animals drink for them. ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِّ. And he brings it back to them without a single word. So without a word, he takes the animals, makes them drink, and he returns it, not even saying anything. And now these girls are thinking, like, what just happened? Right? Well, what just happened? And then he goes to the shade again, إِلَى الظِّلِّ. Nabi Musa goes back to the shade where he was sitting. Now this is a very powerful dua. This is a dua of desperation. It's Nabi Musa in deep, you know, difficulty. He's now watered the animals. It's sort of like a side issue, not even on his mind. He gets back and he sits. He doesn't know where I'm going. What am I doing in life? Obviously. So, فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ فَقِيرٍ. So he says, my Lord, for whatever good you can give me, I'm in need. I'm not even asking, I need. He doesn't have, what does he have? What does it, what, he needs? He needs a house. He needs a place to stay. He needs food. He needs protection. He has nothing. He doesn't have a family. So he says, Ya Allah, anything you can give me, I am faqir, I'm in need. I'm not even going to ask what, if it is any good you can give me, I'm in need. And immediately, فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا. So one of these girls come after some time, after Nabi Musa sits in the shade, one of these two girls walk back, one of them. تمشي على استحياء. She walks, Allah says, very shyly. Right? She's walking towards this big strong man. قالت إن أبي يدعوك ليجزيك أجر ما سقيت لنا. Our father has invited you to reward you for what you did earlier in watering our sheep. فلما جاءوا وقص عليه القصص قال لا تخف نجوت من القوم الظالمين. So once Nabi Musa came to the old man, the father, and he told him the whole story. Allah says, he basically said the whole story to the man. The old man says, the father of the girl says, نجوت من القوم الظالمين, that Allah has saved you from a disbelieving people. Now subhanAllah, some points to mention here. One point, like Nabi Yusuf, what does Nabi Musa have to offer? Of all the people in that area, he's the poorest of them. They have sheep still. They have families, they have homes. He has nothing. But still, he's able to give something. He's able to do something good. Like Nabi Yusuf in the jail. He's able to do something good. And then he makes a dua, Ya Allah, send me some help. And immediately Allah sends him some help. So now he gets invited to a meal. And it mentions here, because of his highly a gentleman, Nabi Musa, of course, as we said, he grew up as a prince. He knows about etiquette. He's not like the shepherd boys out there. Even though he's got nothing, he has a high level of modesty. So he tells the girl, I will walk in front, you walk behind, but you direct me. Go left. At the next right, 300 meters, turn left. That's the first suri, right? That's the first GPS. So she's telling him how to get to the father. And now when he gets there, you invite the stranger in the house, and the father asks now, so where are you from, and tell us your story. Allah says, he said the whole story. He said, basically, I'm a refugee. I'm being hunted by Fir'aun, the most powerful, Fir'aun, yeah, that same Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world. I have a death sentence on me. I don't have any place to go. I'm a murderer. Basically, he says everything to him, and he tells him his story. But then this person, some mention that this is Nabi Shu'aib, because Nabi Shu'aib was sent to the city of Madian. Allah alam, if this is that Nabi Shu'aib, or if it was just, but it was certainly a believer, a person that had the religion of the Bani Israel. And so he says, he listens to Nabi Musa's story, and he says, don't worry, you are safe here with us. So then the father and Nabi Musa are talking, and then the father goes to the girls. Now you can imagine these two girls are sitting and listening, right? And it mentions in books of tafsir, when the girls came home early, the father asked, how come you're home so early? And so they said, you know, dad, there was this guy, and you know, one is telling the whole story, this and that. The other one, and then the father said, what do you have to say? The other said, all I can say is Musa. Musa, that's all I can say. He's just this big, I've never seen a man like this before. And so that's why the father said, go call him. I want to see this guy for myself. And he sent one of them, probably the one that wasn't so chatty, the one that seemed that she was very interested. So you stay behind, send the other sister, and you call him. So now, Nabi Shu'aib, as it's mentioned, asks the daughters, what do you think of this man? Now you heard his whole story. And so one of them said, قالت إحداهما. One of the daughters said, Ya Abati, oh my father, استأجره. Employ him. Why don't you employ him? Let him work for us. إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنْ إِسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيُّ الْأَمِينَ. That the best employee you can have, and this is actually a resume if you want to employ someone that is competent, strong, and trustworthy. If he has competence and he's trustworthy, that's all you need. Employ him and let him live with us, and let's look after him, and he can help us and assist us. So the father reads between the lines, and he goes to Nabi Musa, and he says, I have a proposal, not a job proposal, an actual proposal for you. قَالَ إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُنْكِحَكَ إِحْدَى ابْنَتَيْ هَاتَيْنِ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تَأْجُرَنِي ثَمَانِي حِجَجٍ فَإِنْ أَتْمَمْتَ عَشْرًا فَمِنْ عِنْدِكَ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَشُكَّ عَلَيْكَ سَتَجِرُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. So the father says to Nabi Musa, I have a proposal for you. How about you marry one of my daughters? And in exchange, you stay here for 8 years, and you help us, and you work for us. And if you want to, you can extend it for 10 years. Now, why did the man say 8 or 10? He's basically saying in a nice way, I will assist you, but he made it seem like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. Remember Jabir? Like, it's as if though it's a contract, but it's actually charity. Nabi Musa needs a place to stay, he needs a job. So he's saying, let's make a business deal. But it's in his favor, really. Instead of saying, I'll give it to you for free. And then he said, and obviously, just based on his akhlaq and his character, and the kind of person he was, he said, would you like to marry one of my daughters? And basically the girl asked. The proposal actually came from the girl. And subhanAllah, the ulama says, if you can come to, you know, sometimes it's difficult coming to the father-in-law and trying to say, what you doing here? I'm interested in Aisha. Now, it's a bit difficult conversation, but if Nabi Musa can come without a house, without a job, death sentence on his head, murder, and he can still get it right, then it might be, it's not so difficult for you, so long as you're honest, and so long as you, so long as the girl wants you halas, there's nothing the father can do, right? So now, Nabi Musa had nothing at the beginning of the day. He did one good deed, and he made a dua. What does he have now? He's got a wife, he's got a place to live, he's got a job, he's got a contract for 8 years, and he says, inshallah, I agree to this, and whether 8 or 10, whichever is easiest for me, this will be between me and you. Last ayah for the night. قَالَ ذَلِكَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكَ. This is between me and you. Nabi Musa says, أَيُّ الْأَجَلَيْنِ قَضَيْتُ فَلَا عُدْوَانَ عَلَيْهِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى مَا نَقُولُ وَكِيلٌ. Nabi Musa says, this is between you and me. We agreed. I agree on. So obviously, Nabi Musa was also interested in getting married. He married the one of the sisters, and he says, whichever of the two terms is completed, then inshallah, Allah is witness to this agreement. Tomorrow we'll jump 10 years in the future after this term was done. Just some video to play. I know it's a bit late already. There's a video, something that you, as I said, you know, most of the time Facebook is a waste of time, but then you see a video that really, something that's inspiring or something that moves you, something just to think about now that we're all preparing for Eid. We on a high, we feeling sort of relaxed. Just remember what it is. One of the objectives of Ramadan was to remind us of what we have and what people out there don't have. Ubaid? So basically, this is a reporter that went to Syria and is asking the children of Syria, what did you like for Eid? What is your wish for Eid? Okay, well, we'll let Ubaid sort that out. We will just do our quiz for the evening. Yesterday, we said when Nabi Musa killed somebody, what was the reason that he killed the person? It was in self-defense, right? We said, did he do it intentionally? How he shot the person, stabbed the person, he did it in self-defense. So that was last night's question. Tonight's question, which town did Nabi Musa travel after he killed somebody? Where did he go? Where did he run away? Did he run away to Yathrib? Did he run away to Jerusalem? Did he run away to Madian? Or did he run away to Hebron? So A, B, or C, Yathrib A, Jerusalem B, Madian C, or Hebron D. That is the question of this evening. Where did Nabi Musa run away to? We can play the video so long.
نتمنى انه نرجع على ضيعنا امان ويقف ويقف اطلاق النار.
شو امنيتك على العيد؟
نجينا اخ ولد على العيد.
Just a video that popped up, someone shared, one of the mashayikh overseas shared. Something too for us to remember, that subhanAllah is some difficult places and we're very fortunate what we have. One of the reasons Allah says about fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, that you will be appreciative of what you have. It's easy to look at what we don't have, but when we compare ourselves to the rest of the ummah and the rest of, and this is not just in Syria, you don't have to drive very far to see stories like this just around the corner. It makes us realize, subhanAllah, we have a lot. And one of the lessons of Ramadan is about sharing. It's about giving what you can. If you can't, you know, financially give, at least a dua. So in these last few nights of Ramadan, include the ummah in your dua. Include that we see an end to the war in Syria, in Yemen, in Kashmir, in Burma, throughout the Muslim world, so many areas, and not only the Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that these things come to an end. And subhanAllah, people ask, what can I do? There's a lot you can do. You can sponsor one of these orphans. Maybe you can't solve the whole problem, but for 500 rand is what it costs to sponsor an orphan, go to Islamic Relief, go to Muslim hands, and you can take care of an orphan, subhanAllah, like this with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Jannah, Ameen. So just, you know, take these things, and may Allah bless you in what we have, and forgive us for our shortcomings that we waste and the wrongs that we do, and always be grateful to Allah for what we have. May Allah count us to be of those who are grateful. I think we'll do our draw tomorrow, inshallah, as our final draw. And inshallah, apparently everyone will have some, there's a gift for everyone who attends the masjid tomorrow. So whoever comes will have a gift, inshallah. Still, this Qiyamul Layl, people ask, is there still Qiyamul Layl after the 27th? Of course there is. Definitely, from this evening, 9:30, Qiyamul Layl. And then of course, our Eid program begins 7:15. Possibly Wednesday, most likely Wednesday, but possibly Thursday as well. We'll see, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.